Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it happened some weeks ago that a little baby girl caused my thoughts to kind of go all over the place. And part of the reason was the fact that I had been working on the beginning of the book of Jeremiah. And of course there the Lord God says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Now that must, of course, have been shocking news to young Jeremiah, probably about 18, 17, 19 years old, also because that calling would in many ways be a very painful one. So painful that later on in his life, Jeremiah cries out at one point, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed." Well, when you read that, then your thoughts, of course, also go out to the mother of Jeremiah. And you think not only of the birth pains she suffered, and not only of the tension during the birth of two lives being at stake, that of the child in the birth canal and that of the mother, but then the pain when her grown-up child has to go through such difficult times. And does that not happen more often, that mothers suffer just as much, if not more, when their grown-up child has to go through difficult times or is in serious trouble? With such thoughts, it didn't take long before Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, came to mind. All that she no doubt went through because of her eldest son, Jesus. Did not Simeon already say to the new teenage mother, "Yes, a sword will go through, pierce your own soul also"? And also after that came also the mother of the twins Jacob and Esau to mind, and the mother of Samson. And then there is for some women the totally different pain of having to go through life childless. And reflecting in all this and more, at that time I realized that being born a girl, and a covenant girl at that, does make for quite a different life from being a boy. And then we do not even talk about the abusive treatment many girls and women receive at the hands of the opposite sex. And from all these considerations, my thoughts eventually landed at what now is the text, Romans 12:1. "I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Out of this comes the theme that every covenant child is called to serve the King with body and soul. And first we look at chosen to be a covenant child. We return here to the words of the Lord God to Jeremiah, that the Lord knew him, Jeremiah, already before he formed him in the belly of his mother. What does that mean, biblically, that the Lord knows someone? Well, the meaning of that word, to know, we find partly when we're told that Adam knew Eve. And there it carries the meaning of knowing intimately. And that is different from having met a person a couple of times, so that when I'm asked whether I know that person, then I say, "Well, I have met him." But of course, I do not really know the way he thinks or what he is like. In short, I do not know him intimately, not even close. But when the Lord God says to Jeremiah that he knew him, even before he formed Jeremiah in the belly of his mother, then that clearly means much more than a superficial acquaintance. Just think of it. The Lord God is going to form Jeremiah, has not yet formed Jeremiah in the belly of his mother. Well, that means clearly much more than a superficial acquaintance. Just think of it. The Lord God is going to form. This is really astounding. Immediately, we may wonder, was that only the case with Jeremiah? Okay. Was this only the case with special people like Samuel and Samson and Jacob and Esau? But as far as the rest of us ordinary mortals is concerned, the Lord God did not know us until he got word that our mothers were pregnant. Is that the way it is? We go to Psalm 139, where David confesses, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret." Oh, we say, but that is different. For here the Lord God sees what is happening, but he's not in charge like with Jeremiah. So yes, the Lord God may have known me when I was growing in my mother, but that's different from him forming me in my mother. But then David confesses, "In thy book," and this is King James, "all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet," and there was none of them. Other translators have, "In thy book were written all the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." But that doesn't really make any difference. My days suppose my existence, and my existence supposes my body. If all my days are written in the book of the Lord before I exist, then that clearly means that the Lord must have known me before I existed. And so here in Psalm 139, we learn the same thing as with Jeremiah. The Lord knew David also before he was formed in the belly of his mother. But once again, may we apply this knowledge also to little Eleanor. May we apply this knowledge to all of us. Definitely. For nothing is hidden from the Lord. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient, is the big word. But says someone, what about the words of the Lord Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount where he says to certain people, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." But there, not knowing means I have never recognized you as one of my own. But as far as all the works of the Lord are concerned, they are known unto him from the beginning of the world. And so we may definitely say that the Lord God knew all of us before we were formed in the belly of our mothers. But there is something special about Jeremiah, and that is that he is a covenant child. And yet, this is not something very special for Jeremiah alone. For this is true for all children that are born to God's people. Through the covenant of the Lord God with his people, Israel, all children of his people have a special relationship with the Lord. For this special covenantal relationship is now also extended not only to those who through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have become children of Abraham, but also to their children. And that is not because something these believers have done, and not because something those unborn children have done. This is simply because of the mercies of the God, the Lord. And now the sign and the seal of belonging to this covenant with the Lord God used to be through circumcision, but after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sign and seal now is baptism in the name of the triune God. And so we have witnessed that this morning, that the sign and seal of God's covenant has been put on little Eleanor Charlotte also. There is one more matter that we must make clear to ourselves. Why is Eleanor a covenant child? Because that is what the Lord God determined. Why are practically all of us here covenant children? Because the Lord God knew us before we were formed in our mother's wombs, and because he sanctified us together with Eleanor before we came out of the womb. And that is why we confess that even though we were born and conceived in sin, we nevertheless are sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that we have been set apart unto God's positive purpose through the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where this will lead us, where this will lead Eleanor, in a way remains mysterious for each one of us personally. For on the one hand, we cannot bring ourselves into God's permanent fellowship. But on the other hand, it is apparently possible for us to cause a separation between ourselves and the Lord. But this we know, that the Lord God is faithful to his covenant, and that he always answers the cry from his covenant child for deliverance. And so it is a great privilege to realize that you and I have been known by our Creator before we were formed in our mother's womb, and that we have been separated by the Lord God unto himself. That's what sanctifies means. Separated and by him unto himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, before we were born. So there is two steps. There is, I knew you before I formed you, and I sanctified you before you were born. And this is quite something also for parents who may have lost a stillborn child. There's only one word to describe all this, and that word is love. As presumptuous as this may sound, and perhaps is, nevertheless, it is difficult to describe any differently this work of the Lord God before we were formed in the womb, while we were being formed, and after we came out, than as a work of love. We may sometimes wonder whether the Lord God loves us. And perhaps we ourselves have caused such doubt by our behavior since we were born. But there can really be no doubt for a covenant child, but that it was God's love which formed it and brought it into this world, while the Lord God fully well knew what he did and what he wrought and for what purpose he did all this. Now, these last words you heard may indeed have sounded presumptuous in the ears of some of us. And some of you may wonder, using today's evangelical language, does that now mean that all covenant children are saved? Like one older gentleman told me when I was just a young preacher, it isn't that easy, Pastor. But let us be very clear about the good news that has come to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his Son's work here on earth, while in the form of a human being, through his Son's perfect obedience, undoing our disobedience, through his Son's suffering on the cross, carrying away his wrath against us, the Lord God has taken away all hindrances out of the way for anyone who comes to him in humility to be embraced by the Father's love. Just remember the prodigal son. We do not have an angry father, but a compassionate one. And neither do we have a father who could care less what becomes of his covenant children once they leave the home. Instead, we have a caring father who's constantly on the lookout for his erring children. But this brings us to our second point, loyalty to our sovereign king. This great faithfulness of God our Father calls on our part for great loyalty to our Father, the King. And we think once again of the prodigal son, who had no problem confessing that he was not worthy to be called his father's son, but that he now would be thankful to be one of his father's hired servants. That surely is the feeling of every one of us who at one time or another has drifted into sin, and then upon returning to the Lord has felt totally unworthy of being any longer called God's, the Father's son or daughter. But only humans are allowed to serve the Lord God as his children. Those who are totally the Lord's servants and nothing else are his angels. But the humans are his children. There's a difference. Either that, if they're not his children, says the Lord Jesus, they have the devil as their father. The humans are either God's sons and daughters who willingly serve him, or they are workers of unrighteousness. And think here of the Virgin Mary, that older teenager who found herself to be called to bear a child out of wedlock, even if it might be the Son of God. How humble and gentle was Mary's response. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Now Mary became pregnant through the overshadowing of God the Holy Spirit. But there were other women who bore, you might say, special children, like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, the mother of Samson, Hannah, the mother of Jeremiah. But what have we heard already from God's word? That all covenant children are known by the Lord God before they are formed in the womb, sanctified, set apart unto the Lord, before they are born. And so it is a very, well, I should say, it must be a very humbling matter for our girls and women to realize that any fruit of their wombs has been known intimately by the Lord God before he formed those fruits in their tummies and separated them unto himself before they were born. That makes it very clear to especially covenant girls and young women among us what a holy work childbearing is. At the same time, this also tells us how totally dependent husbands and wives are on the Lord to be blessed with the fruit of the womb, regardless of any human medical manipulations. If fruit of a covenant womb would not be separated by the Lord God unto himself before its birth, what kind of fruit would it be? And therefore we may look at little Eleanor Charlotte and wonder what purpose the Lord God, our God, has with her womb. And all girls in our midst, you are encouraged to reflect on this, that the Lord may have a very special task for you as bearers of his children. Of course, that doesn't mean that there is no task for the covenant boys and men. There is, first of all, the responsibility to provide for the family which the Lord God may grant to them. Provide the fruit of the womb, and not only in material things, but also in spiritual matters. In order to provide properly for the soul and body of their family, the boys and the men are not only to prepare themselves for employment in this world, but also to give spiritual and moral direction to their wives and their children. And next comes the responsibility of the brothers for the congregation of the Lord, as far as the preaching and the teaching and the ministry is concerned. We are here blessed in this congregation with a number of faithful men who are ably serving terms in consistory. But there is always room for more of such men. But those abilities do not come about just by chance. There is a calling from the Lord to answer, which requires times set apart for reading and study of God's Word and other background reading. Hockey and baseball are indeed healthy sports and nice to watch, but they do devour time, and you can only use your time once. And then we have not even mentioned the need for pastors in our churches. I know that Moses and Jeremiah and Jonah had to be, as it were, dragged into their responsive offices. I also know that being a pastor has to be a calling in order to put up with the heat in the congregational kitchens from time to time. And nevertheless, there will always remain a need to bring the word, and to do that in a responsible and intelligent manner requires preparation. Our culture is becoming more and more godless, and pastors are just as much needed as elders and deacons to shepherd the flock of God which he bought with his own blood. And so these words about Jeremiah being known before he was formed and being set apart before he was born should also give us boys and men serious cause to ask, for what purpose am I set apart? So let us then agree, both boys and girls, brothers and sisters, that he who knew us before we were formed in the womb and set us apart before we were born is our King, who is so faithful to us, but to whom we therefore also owe all our loyalty. And that brings us more precisely to the text. I beseech you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That brings us to the third point, fulfilling the obligations flowing out of that loyalty. Now, it may seem that we have dealt with those obligations already quite extensively, but the text is further explained in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And to be conformed to something, of course, means to be shaped in the same form as that something. My mother used to make pudding for Sundays that would stiffen when it cooled. Now she would pour that pudding in a metal form, the form of a big fish, and then it went in the cellar. But when the pudding was cold, you could turn that form upside down and it would come out perfectly, and there you had a pudding fish. Now, no man translated this second, one man translated this second verse of Romans this way: do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remake you that your whole attitude of mind is changed. Do not let the world around you squeeze you in its own mold, like the pudding in the fish form, but let God remake you that your whole attitude of mind is changed. Now let's go back to little Eleanor. Her physical shape is largely determined by her sex and the genes she received from both her parents. So there is nothing really that we can do about that, about Eleanor's shape. However, it is a different matter as far as her mind is concerned and her feelings. If she's going to be yelled at and screamed at and never picked up and never cuddled as an infant, she for sure is going to have some serious emotional problems. Emotionally, she will have been pushed in a certain shape that'll be hard to be undone. And next, the language she's going to speak is going to be English. Her mouth will almost automatically say the difficult THs which her great-grandparents never got right. No dirty and dirty three for her. And yet, would she have been born of Chinese parents, one of the Chinese languages would have come to her naturally. Well, next comes her mind. Not only what is she going to think, but also how is she going to think? Is she going to think along the lines of a godless world? Not likely, not at least until in her late teens. Why? Because of the input of her parents, her church, the homeschooling. So let us agree that during her first 16, 17 years, the world will not have much of an opportunity to squeeze her into its own mold. But after that, well, it will, to quite an extent, depend upon Eleanor herself. Is she going to open up herself to a totally different way of looking at life, weighing what is important in life? Is she perhaps going to turn her back on what parents and church and school have taught her? 17, 18, going out of the house on her own, those will be the critical periods in her life, determining whether she will present her life, her body, herself, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, or allow the world to push her into its own mold. And this, of course, goes also for our boys and young men. So this should speak very much to all of you young people. There will come a time for you, sooner rather than later, that the world will try to squeeze you also in its own mold. I just picked it up on the news this morning that finally the conservatives also have approved of same-sex marriage. Like the liberals say, 10 years behind the time. But they caught up. Now you see, the world always catches up also in those who are slow. And so you have to be open to this, this pushing into the mold of the world. There will come a time that the world will try to squeeze you in its mold. Count on it that the Christian faith is becoming less and less popular. You will meet others your age who will challenge you that you surely don't believe all that poppycock about God creating the world out of nothing and Him being sovereign over all. You are not that narrow-minded to reject same-sex marriage, are you? And so on and so on. And count on it that you will come to face with all kinds of people and teachers and professors and magazines and books and TV programs and blogs and whatever who will do their utmost to reform you into their own image. Until now, you have been able to lean on the convictions of your parents, your church, your teachers, but there will soon come a time when you will have to decide for yourself. And so, you are hereby warned. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but present your bodies, your whole lives, living sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. Well, you can put the emphasis also on a living sacrifice. But the word living is there. It's not a dead sacrifice. They're not talking about suicide or allowing yourself to be killed for your faith. If it comes that way, it comes that way. But the scripture speaks about a living sacrifice. You sacrifice your life while you continue to live it. Yes, it will hurt to yield your life to the Lord. It will hurt because of what you are called upon to give up. It will hurt because of the relationships you will have to turn your back upon the nice girl, the nice fellow, who happen to be conformed to the world. But how can a mother conform to the world, or a father in the form of the world, how can they form your children biblically? How can you be united with a partner who basically thinks everything happens by chance, like a big Lotto 649? While you worship the Lord God as your sovereign Lord. Yes, it will cost you to yield your life to the Lord God. A living sacrifice. That means there is no end to presenting your life, body and soul to the Lord our God. You will do that as long as you live. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. You will keep sacrificing yourself to the Lord God as long as you live. That's what it means to loyally serve our King. And that brings us to the end of our message. Every covenant child, and that's probably every one of us here, is called to serve the King with body and soul. Now, is that what you are doing? Amen.